CliffCentral.com.
All right, so we are back, and this week's the latest installment of the Millennial Gen here at Cliff Central. We've got a power lineup for you guys. In studio right now, we've got Mr. Yanni Kreis joining us. He's a businessman, fashion entrepreneur. You know, he's doing too many things right now. And as you know, we've got the boys Adeyao and Mark Pac-Man in the studio.
Representing for you every week. What's up?
You know. Later on in the show, we've got Frank Casino and his boy Havoc joining us. You know, we're going to speak about the music industry. We're going to speak about how young creatives in the game are coming up these days and just get a bit more of how his journey in music went.
And young entrepreneurs in not only South Africa, but the world.
But right now, we've got the man, the guy, the myth, some would say, even. Yanni Kreis. How are you, dog?
That's you're a lot right of hype.
This is number one entrepreneur.
No, that's a lot of hype.
Yeah. Nah, you good today, dog?
I'm good. How are you guys? Thank you for having me today, actually.
Nah, you're very welcome.
Thanks for joining us. So, like, the thing is, you've got quite a bit going on at the moment.
So do you.
Dude. We're not here for me. We're here for you.
Okay, boy.
So you've got Gold Street, you've got other things. I don't want to say them because it's your thing. So just tell us a little.
Cool. So Gold Street is our label, the contemporary clothing and lifestyle brand.
Nice.
That is owned and operated by myself and my partner Francois Hochart. At the moment, we're distributing online, worldwide, and with like specific retail partnerships in South Africa, in Dubai, and in the US. So we're just really at this point building a brand where we can really explore on our creative side and partner up with the coolest people worldwide, such as yourselves.
Is that why you came to us?
Okay. We found each other.
We found each other. It's not a thing of one coming to the other. But, you know, Gold Street started how many years ago?
We started plus minus 4 years ago, yeah.
Four?
4 years ago. So April 2018 will be 4 years, yeah.
So can you tell us a bit more about the journey? Like, how did you get from in 2014 where you were to
so in this globetrotter? So in 2014, again, this is hype. Thank you, though. In 2014, I kind of had a vision to create something where someone like myself could be heard through different mediums. So we started Gold Street, and it was actually at the time Gold Street Society, and that was my first year at WITS, at university, and we actually started like throwing events, and we had made some clothing, but we didn't really know like what we wanted to do and how we were going to figure it out. But eventually it just kind of took over. It was like a natural progression. So from that point, we started selling online, and then because at that time online retail for independent brands wasn't where it is now, we had to go into physical brick and mortar stores to just get in touch with the consumer.
Okay.
So we did that, opened our first store in Newtown, and that was in 2016. And that was great. It was just great to meet people on a daily basis and share our story and our clothing and our product.
Nice.
And I think we were actually, I mean, there was like Galax Boy, they were around, but they were more like, in my opinion, like towards that skater vibe. And we were the first to really make like European contemporary style clothing in South Africa, and that was really cool. And
so you kind of pioneered like that movement in South Africa, and that's why Gold Street. Because like I'll go around and I'll be like, "Yeah, Gold Street." The thing is, people know about it. Like word on the street is people know you, dog. People know the brand.
That's the
people
goal. That's the brand. Goal. That's the goal. So I think you know. That was really good just to get in at the time where people couldn't really shop for things that they could see overseas, and people were kind of hesitant with the whole online movement. So at that point, it was really cool to be able to sell physically and meet the people and the consumer and grow our brand like that. So fast forward to today, and I think we've done some really cool things.
And like moving forward, like you guys are not just in SA like by itself. You guys have gone international.
Yeah.
So you've got retail in Dubai, in the US.
I mean, it's just a natural progression, bro. People are enjoying the stuff. We put the most work into the quality, into the content, and partnering with people like yourselves to give us a platform to do our thing, man.
Ah, dog, that's the way, though. That's the way. It's about collaborating. It's about working with other creatives. It's the best way to move forward.
That's how you get to the top.
Thank you, bro. All
right, so now we got Frank.
Look, he decided to join the party.
Yo, what's up?
The guy.
Hey, man.
How are you doing today, my G?
I'm a little late, but I'm still alive.
Better late than never. No worries, no worries.
You guys?
Ah, can't complain, my G. Can't complain. It's Friday, so I'm smiling.
Hey, man. No. So 24 hours every day.
Now with you, like there's a lot of hype surrounding you at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And like you've been dropping new tracks. You've got a feature with ASAP Ferg.
Mm-hmm.
Let's tell us a bit more about it, dog. Like how did this all come to form? Because people are hyping you, and the hype is real.
Yeah. Ah, man. You know, I mean, it's been hard work. You know, it's not something that happened overnight. We've been recording music for a while now, almost. For most of my life, we've been doing this. So, yeah, man, I mean, we've been grinding hard, putting our stuff together, you know, Mad Ferg through what we do, music. Music is what got us here. And, yeah, it was a organic thing, you know. Nothing was paid for or whatever it was, you know.
It wasn't forced.
No, it wasn't forced. It was energy, you know. Everything synchronized, you see. And, yeah, for the most part, that was the beauty for me about that whole collab, you know. I don't feel like it's a feature. It's more of a collab.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. Ah, that's dope, G. That's dope. And I mean, I have a question for both of you guys right now. Because it's probably one of the most important things that, and like one of the main reasons people have tuned in. Like, people want to know your creative process. Like, how you come to make a banging track, or how you come to make a banging line. Like, what steps do you guys take in order for the stuff that you guys put out to be top quality?
We're going to start with Frank on this one.
I was so ready to say the same thing.
You guys can ching chong cha or whatever.
Ah, man, like, I don't know. Every process is different, you know. Some songs you write on the spot. Some songs you write over time. You know, I mean, everything, if we're speaking about my music, you know, it's not a facade, you know. Everything is everything I've lived out, you know. Everything I aspire to be, or whatever it is. So sometimes it takes time, sometimes it's in the moment, and sometimes it's also with emotions, whatever emotion struck me at the time. So it all varies.
So there's no like set formula to like how you make a track or how you come up with something new?
No, usually like my processes, I like beat hunting, you know. I like good stuff, just like artworks or whatever it is. Anything creative and anything I think is dope, I like hunting for it. So with music, I'd go like searching for instrumentals and so on, and I bump some, you know. And if I like them, then I start on ideas, you know, topics that I wanted to touch on and so on and so on. And yeah, that's usually the case.
All right. Sounds dope. Uh-huh. It's your turn now, Yanni.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I let Frank go first is because that's pretty much the process. I'm listening to the people, you know.
Mm.
And I'm looking at people around us, people who have a name in what they do, people on the street, how to make the average guy feel amazing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How can he, you know, perfect whatever he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, a lot of what Frank said also comes into play, things like emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the tee I'm wearing right now, it says no guts, no glory. You know, everything we've done on the label has been like self-funded between myself and Francho through the other work we do. And you know, the journey is not easy, and it's been something where, you know, we've had to hustle. And I like to put that on clothing. That's my medium, the same way Frank's is lyrics and songs. Mm-hmm. So that's our medium to like empower the people. And that's actually between myself, Francois, he's an athlete. and our aesthetic, that's what we're going for. That's, we're trying to empower the people through high quality clothing. And that's why we resonate with people like Frank too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's nice though. The creativity is definitely there with both of you, obviously. So, but now what I wanted to touch on a little bit was like entrepreneurship.
Mm.
So Yanni, you said you started back in first year of varsity, but those definitely weren't the first thoughts you were having of starting your own business.
Nah, dog, I always wanted to be the boss, man.
And here you are today. You're pretty much the boss, because
I don't want to. Man, I'm trying, dog. I worked in retail like when I was 16, and I was killing it, dog. Like, I was literally putting these shoes on these ladies, boy. The sales were booming. I mean, in a week, I mean, we absolutely killed. It was like Christmas period, but I mean, the way I just massaged the whole situation, you know, I realized that like I could sell, and what they made versus what I made just made me think like I can't do this, you know. Yeah. I can't be living for someone else. Yeah. I'm living for me. You know?
Definitely.
And that's the thing, bro.
You're preaching to the choir here, though. Yeah. You're preaching to the choir.
No, that's what it's about. It's about, you know, realizing your strengths and then acting on those, you know? Because, like, for me, for example, it was like, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur myself, but I've also always wanted to be in the film industry, mm-hmm. either in front or behind of the camera. But mm-hmm. I've been lucky enough to, you know, make it my goal of incorporating the film industry into my business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, at the end of the day, if you believe that if there's something you really want to do, you know, you can do it. Maybe if you're not going to be making money in the beginning, but that's not the point. Mm-hmm. That's not why you started this thing. It's your passion.
Mm-hmm.
So do your passion, the money will follow.
Straight up.
And I mean, that's definitely happened for the both of you guys now. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, Frank, you started singing way before you wanted to make this a career.
Hey. Man, amen.
Amen.
How long have you been going out of
football? Couldn't play football, guys.
Because I've been doing my research and I've been seeing things of before 2010. You were still doing your thing in the mm-hmm. music industry, so you've been at it. Like people need to know that it's not just something that just popped out of nowhere. Like, there's been work and determination, and the hustle has been there for years.
10,000 hours, man. You know, and we're still going. There's still a lot more to achieve. You know, I mean, we got to this point. For us, it's just a foot in. And there's so much more to do. And so much more pressure. You know, you'd assume that things would be easier, you know. But only the things that you needed to help you focus on the goal would be easier. But just getting to the goal is still just as difficult.
Mm.
So,
because not everything works out. Like,
no,
you may go down one path and then realize, shit,
it is a hustle, you know.
It is,
and I mean, the journey is interesting, you know. It's always good to look back and look how far you've come, you know, what you've done. I mean, some obstacles at some point seem like so big, and now it's not the same, you know. And I hope that the big ones eventually be like what they are with the other ones.
Yeah. No, definitely. Because I mean, you'll set goals for yourself. You'll see obstacles down the line. You'll say, that's a huge ass obstacle. But then, you know, maybe a year down the line, I mean, a year earlier, mm-hmm. you're busy overcoming an obstacle that back then you thought was almost unachievable.
True.
So it's just a matter of perspective. Uh-huh. You just got to work to the point where the obstacles that you come across don't seem that big.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of being patient, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
My whole thing is, I want to know how you guys stay true to yourselves and don't get caught like within the hype.
That's very true.
Like,
I think Frank's the one of the hype. Packing boxes.
How do you maintain that originality and that uniqueness, like, of being Frank or of being Yanni within Gold Street?
It's Frank.
I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like, don't forget why you started. You know, I mean, I don't think everyone, whoever, even the guys that maybe we look up to, I don't think they're done. You know? We've all, like, we reach certain goals, and once you get there, especially if you're ambitious in general, there's never enough. So I mean, if you always remember why you're here, you know, you'll always take yourself back down to earth and remind yourself that you actually have to chase the goals, you know, actually have to keep it real with yourself, you know. I mean, I believe that people that have made it are people that have been honest with themselves, you know, because I mean, as a creative, it's very easy for you to believe in yourself, you know, like believe in yourself for the sake of believing in yourself. But it's one thing to believe in yourself knowing that you weren't lying to yourself, like you believe that you're good because you're good, not because you believe you're good.
Preach.
Definitely, that makes a lot of sense.
And Yanni, how do you continue creating like unique pieces without getting caught up like in these Instagram trends?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think what's important with that process is actually trying to always be better, you know, trying to always do more and be better for yourself, you know. And I feel like the best way to understand that is speak to the people, you know, whether it's your best clients or just random people that you never met. Show them the stuff that you've done and just hear them out. So, you know, it's always easy for your best homies to blow your trumpet and be like, ah, you're so good, you're so good.
Yeah.
But that's no one. You know what I'm saying? That's no one. So it's always about the bigger picture. You know, how many people can you reach?
Okay.
So honestly and openly.
What is it that you guys think that gets you to stand out from the crowd? Because both of you right now in your respective industries are doing the damn thing. Like, there's no doubt about it. So what is it that you guys see, like, that makes you stand out, is that makes you original from the rest?
I don't know. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I don't spend my time trying to, like, be original or trying to be, like, different or, like, unique, you know. But I just try to do what I came to do, you know, and just keep it true to myself. It's not like there's no secret.
No, it's true, because it's like what Yanni touched on there. It's not about trying to be better than, you know, anyone else. It's about trying to be better than yourself yesterday.
Exactly.
You know, because then when you're always improving on yourself, you're going to get to that person's level that you aspire to be at.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just look at the top and say, okay, I want to up one there.
Because
it's not going to happen. That guy, you don't know what that guy's been through, how many things he's done wrong, and how many lessons he's learned to get to where he is. So the thing is, for me, at least, it's just about being better than you were yesterday.
100%. Keep pushing, your time will come. I mean, like, in our game, before, like, there was Off-White or Fear of God, there was Von Dutch and Ed Hardy. And
yeah, then, the Ed Hardy.
It's just like, keep pushing and your time will come, you know?
So you brought up Off-White, and I mean, it's good because you led us into the hype talk of the conversation. So like, we usually do this every week. We just like to ask our guests what they think of the current trends in like new age culture, like what's going on in the world these days. So with regards to Off-White, seeing as you are the fashion guy in studio today, you're the guy.
No.
Like what do you think of like the hype surrounding it? What do you think of what he's putting out and what is priced at? Do you think it's overpriced or overhyped?
Sure.
Well, I mean, when something becomes overhyped, it becomes overpriced.
Yeah. Personally, I don't really have much of Off-White because I actually had it like in 2013 before it was
cool.
The most hectic thing that is. All
right.
but it's more like because my personal style, I just enjoy not having something that everyone has, you know. And I think that's kind of like how people will, it also gets people thinking like, what is he onto, what is he doing, you know. But and it's also like when you spoke about, you know, sticking out from the crowd, you know, it's not that I don't like it, it's just that my personal choice leads me astray in a lot of things, you know, when it comes to like family life, how I conduct myself, women, friends. All these things are a bit different from the norm, you know.
I mean, it is what it is, dog.
So people look at that, they wonder, and it gets them thinking.
But that's good, though.
I guess so.
Because when people see with the hype, they think hype. When people see you on your own road, on your own mission,
look, they killed it. Like, dude, it's ridiculous. It's actually ridiculous. Like, they really, really, really killed it. And they obviously did something really good and right. And I think with this new collab that he did with that Virgil did with Nike, I think it's like they really out to kill Yeezy.
Mm.
That's my opinion on the whole thing, and it's priced. Just if you look at it from a business point of view, it's priced cheaper.
It's the same as normal Nikes.
Exactly, it's way more accessible. You know, people online in Essex could just go and order it. You know, and you know, looking at all the beef that happened with Kanye and Nike, I think this is their turn now.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it unfolds, and we'll see how good Kanye is.
I mean, it's quite interesting because Kanye and Virgil are best friends. And now they're up against each other on different sides of the table.
It's almost like they all say that Kanye gave Virgil his shot. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know about that.
But I mean, dog, it's the thing of you can get your foot in the door, but as soon as your foot's in the door, you're the one that needs to push that thing open and make sure the people on the other side are receiving you in the right way.
I like that.
You know? So as much as people can say Kanye put Virgil on the map, Virgil is the reason Virgil stayed on the map.
Straight up.
And he's
still
here today.
Mm-hmm.
So you brought up collaborations. Mm. So I feel like it's important for us to touch on like why collaborations are so important within the creative industry these days. Because, I mean, Frank's busy collaborating with ASAP. You collaborating with Frank. The chain is continuing, dog. The chain is, it's never ending.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think of like collaborations these days? You for it? Well, obviously you for it, but
I think we should ask Frank about his his view, especially with the starting out on the music.
Oh man, it's a good way to lead people into different worlds, you know, and make it one, and just introduce like different criterias, you know, like in one's world into another's world, and just, you know, open eyes to everybody else. And it's good for like two creatives to get creative together, you know. It's just better because everybody comes with their own experience, own knowledge, and you guys share it, you know, and it's a trade, and it's good, like, because it touches bases on maybe the one side that the one creative couldn't touch, you know, vice versa. Mm.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot, like, especially but like if we just look at what everyone knows right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times someone will say, I love that shoe, but I would have liked it if it had that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and mm-hmm. and the collaboration thing just like really allows people who would, I mean, they would do it anyway, like kids would just paint on their shoes or whatever, but now it's just like, you know, it's more commercialized and it's just more available. So I think that's cool, and it's also it really like creates the hype that keeps the whole movement going, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think engaging the people.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good reason like for collaborations, and Frank did touch on it, is like you see in two different worlds, like leading one world into another.
Uh-huh.
So like maybe two brands that you never would have thought that would have collaborated have both shared like their customer base in a sense, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's very important because it teaches people to see things in a different way. Because right now, if I'm me, I'm going to see things the way I've been seeing things my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm collaborating with someone else that sees shit differently, you know, it's going to give me a different perspective on how either I create my art,
mm-hmm.
like how I look at things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the most vital things, in my opinion, when it comes to collaborations.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, where does artwork come from? It comes from inspirations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of collaborations, because it opens you up to new experiences, and mm-hmm. then you get inspired by those experiences, and then you incorporate it into your work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so like your guys' collaboration, what drove you guys to collaborate? Because you're wearing a collab right now with mm-hmm. the Gold Streets and your brand.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's fire, by the way, like, it's dope.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, like, I mean, yeah, because your guys' collaboration, because we've spoken about this a few times, we've been in meetings, we've experienced the whole thing. Like, what sparked that collaboration? What sparked that interest between you two guys?
You're gonna break the ice.
You wanna spit? I think you know, sometimes it's just great to create, you know, like, without, you know, like, I don't know how to say, without boundaries. And with this, obviously we're still working on something, and we're working on something for next year.
Nice.
But it's the beginning of a long road for both brands in different spheres, you know. So for Frank in fashion, whether it's with us or his own fashion, and with us in music, at the end of the day, music is like the ultimate form of influence, you know. It really is. Like, people don't know their schoolwork, but they know the lyrics off by heart.
I literally tweeted that the other day, dog.
I saw that.
I
don't remember how to do long division, but I can still recite every word from Chris Brown's "Yo, Excuse Me, Miss," dog. Like,
yeah. So this is the thing, and also, I feel like I don't know about it, but like with these brands at the top, when they're collaborating, they're actually exchanging consumer bases, because there's so little left at the top. You know,
that's true.
So, yeah, it's just cool to create and take things to new levels.
Mm-hmm. It's also like with like YouTubers, for example, they're always doing collaborations. It's literally just to mix audiences, to get more exposure.
Mm-hmm. Alright, well, you know, Frank, you've got a new tune out. Mm-hmm. Low.
Yeah.
I won't lie, dude, this one's one of my favorites.
Yeah, what time?
The other day I was chilling with Yanni and I think we had it on repeat, mm-hmm. like 3 times.
Mm-hmm. Like, classic.
I don't even know, dog, like, people just need to hear it. So,
thank you.
You know? I'ma call you Lion, can I see ya? Low, dog.
Uh-huh.
Low. I can't get enough of it, dude, if I'm honest.
Aish.
So, like, you collabed with ASAP Ferg, dog. That ain't a small thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, top five, probably.
Mm-hmm.
How did it happen? Like, how did it come to form?
Oh, man, you know, I guess he heard of my music. You know what I mean? We obviously know who he is. We've been knowing his music. We've been supporting. You know, we're fans of their work, you know. And earlier that day, someone told me that he was listening to my music and so on. I didn't take it to head, you know. I thought it was one of those things in passing that was being said. And then later in the evening, at the show, Capsule, which we're all doing, we didn't get to, like, cross paths or talk or whatever it was. Then later, after that, which was at the club, Speedy played a whole thing on his set, and we were just rocking and vibing to it. And he called me up to his section, like, "Yo, I've been heard your stuff. So and so and so. Look, let's exchange contacts or whatnot." So he gave me his email, gave me his number. I gave him my number, gave him my email, and yeah, cool, whatever. The next day, I thought, it's still one of those things. Then the next day he hit me up in the DMs, you know, it's like, "Yo, send me some shit." And that's how we started talking.
Yo.
So ASAP Ferg hit you up in the DMs, said, "Let's work, dog."
Yeah.
Hey. You see, people don't know, South Africa, we cooking here. We cooking. We've got stuff here. How?
Boy.
So then, when it comes to, like, working with him, like, is it like working with people, like, local artists, when you collab with local artists, like, how did it work?
Well, for me, it's like, all my collabs, you know, I'm not like a collab artist, like going around saying when I make a project, I need to collab with so and so, you know. Everything is based off energy, you know. It has to be like authentic.
Yeah, it comes to you.
Yeah, it has to be like a genuine, like, interaction between two people or however many, you know. So, yeah, like everybody I've worked with in terms of collabs, it's people that I actually really know. Or people whose stuff that I'm really a fan of, and I'd really like to create something in terms of like a relationship going forward. So yeah, it's pretty much that's it. You know, I don't like I'm not like a feature type of artist. Like I'm looking for features type of thing. Features for me or collabs are based off energy synchronization. You see it everywhere. You see it on stage. If you guys at a bond wherever, you know, you can see it. You know, you can see when you can see when there's a disconnect as well. So yeah, for me, like, bond is key.
Okay. So we've got a question from some of our guys on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Zubair, aka Zaid, he asks, how do you guys put out work?
Zaid.
He asks, how do you guys put out work without the worry of what others think?
That's a good question.
No.
Because, like, as a creative, we face... That's my biggest struggle when it comes to, like, me putting out artwork.
Criticism.
I've got so much shit that I haven't dropped because I'm just like, I'm not sure if people will vibe with it, you know? Mm. So how do you guys put out your work without, like, giving a damn about what people think?
You gonna break the ice?
Sure. Well, obviously, you know, when, like, as artists or people who... striving to always do better, every time you release something, well, this is my personal view. Mm. Every time I release something, I always look at the tiniest of details and I always think, how can I do better? And the only thing that really backs me up is affirmation from regular people that, you know what, dude, it's actually really sick. Because every time I'm looking at the finer details, I'm thinking about a million things, a million ways that I could have done better. But the nature of business is sometimes things need to be in at a certain time, you know, or they need to be out. They need to be with someone at a certain place. And the only thing that I say can, like, kind of keep me going is when fans and clients and people actually show love and it's genuine. You know, they don't need to say it. Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying it's the people behind you that keep you going.
Mm. I mean, generally, like, we've got, like, I mean, clients from all over and S as well. And when, like, a regular guy just sends me a photo in a tee, you know, it's not a, like, an everyday exchange where, like, someone comes through with a Gucci tee and you're like, yeah, well, we know, you know? So he's actually, like, it makes him feel better.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that can really make me feel better.
I hear you. And your side, Frank, how do you, like, just say fuck the haters?
I mean, for me, I mean, first and foremost, I'm a fan of music before me, you know, and I'm sure I've got an ear, like, just the same way I like other stuff, you know. I always try critique myself in the best way possible, you know, and if I believe I've achieved that, what I wanted to achieve from a listener's perspective, you know, I let it go, you know, and I let it go because I like it. You know, and I think everybody else should get to, you know, have their own opinion, whatever it's going to be, you know. After that, I don't have any control, you know. As long as I released it knowing that, you know, I enjoyed it, you know. That's important for me, you know. I mean, there's nothing you can do about what people think.
I mean, so not really as long as you like it.
Yeah.
That should be all that matters.
I mean, people are always going to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on my end, I just make stuff that I want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I look at like an NBA short. I'm like, it's a little heavy. Gotta make it similar and lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
it's better tones. Like, that's what I want to wear. You know.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah.
And there are billions of people in the world. Someone is gonna like that.
Mm.
You know, you can't have like. There's no ways that it's gonna be like a million to one.
And it comes down to energy. People feel the energy, the original energy that you don't want to try copy. And like a lot of times people play me like, because we're in the same place, like music from guys who are trying their best to sound American. I'm like, guys, they don't need this.
Where's the you in that?
They don't need you. They've got Americans.
There's enough of that stuff out there.
You know what I'm saying? Just be yourself. Yeah.
I vibe definitely with that. By the way, to all the listeners out there, if you guys want to send us some questions, you can just slide into our DMs or send us a tweet or something.
We are a platform, so we're here for you guys. We're here to like teach, and we're also here to learn. So if you guys have anything that you want to say to us, just slide into them DMs on Twitter, at the Millennial GN, not Gen. This one, yeah, that one was actually taken, unfortunately.
Oh, headset.
Someone beat us to the chase there, bro. It's like, it is what it is.
Who is it? I'll fight them. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
So, your most recent track.
Uh-huh.
I won't lie, I think this one, it could even be more than ASAP.
It's a summer ASAP. Smash, this.
Yo.
Low is a forever. This is it. This is also a forever. But it's a summer smash.
Yanni's busy tripping over himself. Yeah.
Just turn off the mic there.
But you've got a lot of music coming out. Like, yeah. For me, it's incredible because I know, like, as a creative, it's the whole thing of you want to put out the best work.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you constantly put out the best work in such short amount of time?
Ah, man, I don't know. You know, sometimes we have highs, you know. We have highs, there's zones or sagas where you're in the phase and you're on this high or whatever it is. I guess for me, I'm at that point right now. You know, I'm just inspired to do as much as I can do. You know, there's so much more that I want to do. And this is always what I wanted to do, you know. And now I'm just taking action. That's it.
Boss,
it's the love of the game.
Actually, sounds like rap,
dog. That's what I was gonna say. I was gonna be like, dog, we don't even have a beat for you, but you're already spitting bars. Okay, so your new tracks, Low and New Coupe, can be found on Audio Mac.
You can find it on iTunes as well.
Mm. iTunes, yeah,
iTunes, that's whatever, the one. Digital platforms.
Mm.
Yada yada.
Available everywhere.
Available, ETC. Available. Bam, bam, bam. We don't have the hype sirens. I have to beat myself. I'm sorry. So we've actually got New Coupe coming up like now because it just booms too much. So gonna have to give the people what they want,
what they need.
Ooh. Oh, 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 yeah.
Yeah, so thoughts on that.
It's pretty alright.
Typical criticism of oneself. No, we were talking about it. Now you're right. Like when Adair asks you like how do you put out all of your work without, you know, being worried about the criticism, is like you gotta put that stuff like aside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the only person that really should criticize yourself is yourself, because you see what you've worked on, you've been seeing it, you've been perfecting it, you've been making it from whenever it started, and like that's why, like Yanni, you said you look at the little details and you look at where you can improve. Like those people that you're going to give it to, they aren't looking at those little details. They're looking at the bigger picture. They're looking at the story behind it.
They don't know what's gone into the making of it.
Exactly. Know? Like it's all everyone, like people fall in love with the artist's process.
100%.
And their thought processes
and how
as
it's
well.
Packaged.
Exactly. Packaging is
Danny loves
big
packaging, though. He said it three times now.
You see, yeah. I was actually talking about like the figurative packaging.
Oh, like like how it's sold.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm learning as well, bro. Like that's what I said. We all need to learn.
But the packaging too.
The physical pack. I still got your little labels in my car, dog. Those are timeless, eh?
Thank you, bro.
Nah, you're welcome. But yeah, so I think it is now time, unfortunately, to wrap up this week's show. So before I do that, let's go around the room. Where can we find you on the socials, Yanni? And where can most importantly the viewers find you?
Okay, so so my Instagram is Yanni Crease. Crease like a crease on your shirt. But Yanni is not the Afrikaans Yanni. It's YIANNI.
It's like Italia.
It's like Gianni with the Y.
Yaku.
Yanni Crease, yeah.
Okay, dope.
I'm not really on Twitter.
And Gold Street, bro. We're not interested in Yanni no more.
Just,
Gold Street.
Write Gold Street on Instagram, Twitter, and online, and you should be able to find that.
Because check out the new store. It's booming at the moment.
Yeah, later today we will have a write-up on the new Gold Street line. No Guts, No Glory. It will be up and booming.
Uh-huh.
So stay tuned to that. You can check that up at themillennialgen.com.
Shout out to the Millennial Gen.
And Frank?
You can find me on my Instagram, Frank Casino. Facebook, Frank Casino, Twitter, Frank Casino _, and my number is,
psych!
Damn it. I was getting
excited. See, when a man's veteran in radio, he comes with these ones.
Alright, so man's, you can also head over to the website, check out the article on Frank, the millennial creative of the week.
The name is complicated, bro.
That's why I'm stuttering.
I'm like, I'm waiting for you to say it, bro. The whole time, like, yeah.
So, yeah, check that out, the millennial creative of the week, Frank Casino, Casino Boy Royale. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll read a bit about his story, how he came up in the game.
Yeah, and thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's show. We really did. Thank you guys for coming through. Really been a pleasure and an honor to have you.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're very welcome, man. And until next week, this has been the Millennial Gen. Peace. CliffCentral.com